Hello and welcome to this Arsenal, how do I describe it? This Arsenal themed episode of your Sports Memo podcast. My name is Calvin Emekonwuka and it is my privilege to have you listen to us on your various podcast platforms. This 2023-2024 season is in one of the first in a long time where, with 6 games to go, only a point separates the top 3 teams. Manchester City, no, actually it's 2 points, forgive me, 2 points separate the top 3 teams. City are 73 and then both Liverpool and Arsenal, Arsenal and Liverpool are on 71 each. I've got with me 4 Arsenal fans in the pod at the moment. I'm expecting a few more to join. In Lagos is Falari, otherwise known as Falari Photos, or better known as Hayatu. In Carshalton is Ekman. He's a regular. And it's East London is Matt. So, gentlemen, welcome to your Sports Memo podcast. Falari is our first timer. So, the rest of you, you know how to do it. Welcome, all of you, to this episode of your Sports Memo podcast.
Thank you.
Listen, Falari, I still think you might have to change location so we can hear you very, we can hear you better. You do have to change location, seriously. Or if you're using an earpiece, you might have to change the earpiece. I think the problem might be the earpiece. If you're using an earpiece, that might be the problem. So I will start with you.
Yeah.
I will start with you, Matt. Matt. On Sunday, this is the thing about football that I really love. The way the first half of that league game against them, the match against Villa went, the way that went, had Trossard scored that chance, I believe strongly Arsenal would have won, and might have gone ahead in midweek to knock out Bayern Munich. Instead, Villa took total control of the second half. They took total, absolute control of that second half, and in the end, ran out comfortable 2-0 winners. Matt, can you hear me?
Is the mic on mute?
He was saying something like I can't hear you. But Ekman, go on now. See how that panned out in the way that it panned out with your experience of watching. Football and watching Arsenal, are you worried from now on?
Yes. When that chance went, it was a mixed one, right? So I tend to want to argue that we can't keep saying that it's the same old Arsenal, because the variables are different every season, right? But the outcomes always seem to be the same. When I think it was not just Trossard, there was another chance that we missed those 2 chances, and then Villa hit the bar, my confidence level changed, because I went back into that whole mentality of, you know, if you look at historical patterns in the old days during the Wenger years, especially whenever we would go hitting the bar, you'd know that, okay, it's not our day in the office, our luck is about to change against us. So I thought that would be the reverse, that when these guys were knocking the post, that maybe this is our luck now working in our favor. But then the goals came in, and I thought, okay, so if we lose this one, then I'm instantly nervous about Bayern.
Right.
Because you then start to wonder, okay, so what impact is it going to have on this young team? And more importantly, on this young coach who has never had to face this kind of adversity before, how's he going to handle?
That's a very big point.
Yeah, so he's he's talked a good game. He's coached a good game. I think Arteta is a very, very technically sound coach. Experiments a little bit too much for my liking, but he's done very well for his first job. Let's not forget, this is his first gig in the game. But he's never really gone to this part now where he's now at the top of the game, and then he's being tested. He's being tested. It's no longer tactics now. It's no longer formation. It's no longer the drills that you've prepared the boys for the trip. It's now the softer things. Those things that the likes of Alex Ferguson, Mourinho, even Arsene Wenger used to come out on top. Mm-hmm. So you've done the drilling. You've done your homework. Now let's test your mind. How ready are you to recover from this defeat? And then we get to Germany, and I thought it was a controlled first half, if I'm honest. Where I think the problem was, and I think it might be a combination of things. It might be down to this mindset thing that I'm talking about, but also talent.
Okay.
These guys dropped and sat and waited for us to exhaust ourselves with pass. And in those kinds of games, I think to myself that what you need is an Oxley Chamberlain type of player, but on a more superior level, who says, okay, I've had enough of all of this marking. Everywhere seems blocked. I'm going to run at you. We don't have that. The game to me was screaming for a player of that type of stature. And we didn't have that on offer. Perhaps we could have gotten that from Saka, because Saka has shown such dribbling ability all the way down the flank.
But you have,
perhaps we could have gotten a bit more.
You people have coached dribbling out of Saka.
We've coached dribbling out of the ball. So, and I think in those kinds of cases, and Vieira used to say this those days, that there were times when he would come in the second half and say, look, forget what the coach said. This is what we're doing. We don't have those kinds of players. And I think it's players like the ones that I'm talking about now that would have said in that second half that, you know what, nothing is working. So I'm going to run at these people. The coach will chastise me when I'm done, but if it works, it probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Polari, Harty, can you hear me? I didn't watch the. I only saw the highlights of. Polari, unmute your mic if you can hear me. I didn't watch that game. I only saw the highlights. I was watching the City Real Madrid game. I've always had, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was on a TV show and I was being asked about Arsenal. And I remember making a point that what I'm trying to find out from Arsenal currently is how they will react, A, when they go a goal behind, and B, how they would react to a defeat. Because I'd gone so long without a defeat. I mean, when you play City, you play Liverpool in the league, and you're winning, and you're drawing away at the Etihad, there's this confidence that you get. So then the question will be, okay, what will happen when there's a slight setback? So that's what I was trying to... That's what I need to see. How they will react if there comes a setback. And that's where I like what Ekpen, you said with regards to Arteta's lack of experience. Do you think that at this point now in the season that Mikel Arteta's experience or lack of it would now might just be a factor?
Yes, experience has always been talked of as a very important factor at this level in football. We saw a lot of lack of it on display last season. You would expect that this season some lessons would have been learned from last season. Yes, the players are still young. Majority of them are still young.
Yeah.
But we still have some old heads in the team. So I believe those players that, for instance, Jorginho, Jesus, even Trossard, these are players that their age says they have seen some form of adversity, as it were, previously in their career before they came to Arsenal. So I would expect that would put them in a good state to like talk to the younger players in the team, prepare them for these kind of situations, and you know, set the tone for how they would apply themselves. But that doesn't seem to have happened. I mean, the past two games that we have played now, our lack of experience, as everybody has mentioned, has come to the fore again. And it doesn't give me much confidence to say that we are going to ride above it in the remaining six games to the end of the season. I'm not so particularly confident. And I personally think that excuse has been overweighed. We tend to feel like we are sorry for ourselves, we are sorry for the situation that we have found ourselves in. I don't think that's a particularly good mentality to take into this stage of the season. I think we can be bullish, we can be buoyant in our attitude. I mean, you can just whip up yourself, whip up the side of you that you probably have never had to, you know, whip up before, and then just go into these games and, you know, face them head on, see how best you can make the situation. That is what I am expecting in the rest of the games that we have to play now. But a part of me is still not confident that we'll be able to do it. The Villa defeat was very damaging, as we have come to realize now, from the Bayern game. It was very damaging because the second half in the Bayern game, it dropped, and after the Bayern goal, you could see that there was no way back again for us. I mean, it was telling. I saw edge drop. I saw enthusiasm drop. It was like the players did not believe anymore. And that gave me a huge scare.
Who do you hold responsible for this?
I think ultimately it will be Arteta. It will be Arteta. I don't know what goes on in the dressing room, but it's almost like maybe everybody is just heading in the same direction. Like, okay, we have tried. Nobody gave us the chance to be here. We are here, so we have tried. But there's something fundamentally missing. I mean, to just ride above this barrier that has been holding us back for a while now. So I don't know how the manager prepares the team psychologically, because there are players on the team that the manager can draw from to motivate the younger guys. There's nothing that shows that is happening. Jorginho, Trossard, Jesus, even Zinchenko, I believe they have not been utilized. Their experience has not been utilized as well as it should have been. And it worries me, because at the end of the day, this season, if we end up short again this season, doubts will start lingering. Doubts will start lingering. Next season again, yes, we bring in a couple of players, we give it a go again, and then we get to this part of the season, and then something from, you know, this season will crop in again next season, and then we start asking questions again. For me, I think something has to give. There has to be a kick in the butt for the team to. There has to be this very seismic shift in mentality. It has to happen soon. I mean, some of these players are 24, 25 now, 26. This is the time they can come into their own. So I think we should tread cautiously on this excuse of inexperience and try to bully our way through it.
Thanks, Hart. Matt, last season when it happened and City eventually won the title, I remember saying to you and I'm saying to other Arsenal fans that I have been around this block so many times, and I've always maintained that when a football club is close to winning the league, they have to win that league that time. That next season is never guaranteed. The next season is not. That you played well and you came second this particular season does not automatically make you favourites to win the league. It might make you favourites to win the league next season, but it doesn't mean you will win that league next season. I am thinking as Folarin and Ekpe, as we're speaking, and I'm thinking at this point with three teams in the running for the title, two of these teams have managers have won league titles. So Klopp has won the Premier League, he won the Bundesliga twice, and there's nothing else to say about them. Guardiola, so they know when it comes to these squeaky bum times, as Alex used to describe it, they know what to say and what not to say to their players. But it seems at this point that what is happening at Arsenal is that both Arteta and his players are having to learn on the job. Do you see this as one of the big problems at the football club in these last six games, or you see something else, Matt?
Calvin, I feel like it's going to be that type of problem. You're right, exactly spot on with what you said about Pep and Klopp. I feel with Arteta, it's like we've got a good thing going. I was listening to what the other guys were saying, but there's just something missing. And you know, as a Manchester United fan, Fergie used to say all them years, at this time of the season, things that you expect to happen don't. It's all about grinding out these results. Mm. And, you know, your better players might not perform well, but you manage minutes of players. And I feel like now we're seeing, you know, you were talking about Saka earlier. Saka's burnt out. He's tired. The guy is completely done out. And I feel like we haven't managed the squad good enough. And now we're really feeling it. If you look at Arsenal in history, right, February, March was always normally the time where we'd really struggle. This time in the Premier League, February and March, we were spanking teams 5-6-0, beat Liverpool 3-1, we're winning all these type of games. So, you know, now you get to April, May, it's like, okay, cool, you've got Champions League and Premier League. Now you've got to go 10, 11 games left. What have you got? And that Villa game, it's so funny. Before the Villa game, I said to everybody, this is the game that tells me now, because we've got Champions League coming. Villa have just played, was it Lille?
Lille
on the Thursday. And I said, they went with a strong team. But when you watch the game on a Sunday, you would think that we played on the Thursday and these guys played. It was mad. It was honestly incredible. And it's so frustrating that we always go so close. And Calvin, you know me, I'm a massive Arsenal guy. But I'm very real with certain parts of this season. When I saw that, I went, you're letting this go again. And Arsenal are the type of team now where they could maybe go and win the next five games, but City will go and win the rest. And then you're sitting here going, oh, if we had beaten Villa, oh man, you know, it was always the case. And it's very frustrating, but I'm in the belief of we're at this phase four. You know, we spoke about the phases, if you remember. And I always said, this summer is the one where it's like, I have no more excuses for you now, Mikel. This is it. Like, what are you going to do? You know, you've got Klopp going. So obviously Liverpool undergo a little rebuild, whatever. The other teams, no disrespect to the other teams. I don't really see any other teams behind us kind of closing a gap to us. So it's another great opportunity next season. But I'm not sitting here going to say we're going to win it.
but we just really need to attack the window. That we always get to a window and we're just left missing something still. We never have that complete window. It's like, you need that, it's done, let's go. Like the Havertz signing threw off everything. You know what I mean? And that, now you look at our guy Granit, we let go to Germany and he's won Bundesliga. So it's these little things. We'll get there. Like, I'm very frustrated how it's ending, but it's football. It's football and these things happen.
Ekman, Matt sounds like he's already giving up on the title. Surely you don't you don't agree on that. Have you given up?
Not quite. I think I'll probably give up by the end of proceedings on Wednesday morning. I'll assess things on Wednesday morning. Because there are two reasons of this show that this is by far the most competitive season that we've had in terms of the number of teams chasing the title. There's three teams going after it, and there's only what, 2 points between us three, right? Now, if Arsenal get a win today, and then somehow manage another win on Tuesday, then we send the message back to Manchester City to say, look, right, okay, so we know that you guys like to rack up a point towards the end of the season. Now let's test your resolve to rack up them points. Now it's all psychology. It's psychology.
Yes.
Because I don't think they don't play this weekend.
No, we're in the FA Cup. They are playing this evening in the FA Cup.
Exactly. So my reckoning is, if we bag 3 points tonight, bag another 3 points on Tuesday night. It's not done yet. But there's a side of me, and I should apologize. My car is in reverse now, so you hear a lot of beeping. But there's a side of me that thinks like the rest of the guys that look, this might just be Arsenal yet again. It's again. But if that then pans out, if it pans out that we finish second, or maybe God forbid even third, I wouldn't be that disappointed, you know. Because if you had said to me at the start of the season that we would be the quarterfinals of the Champions League, we would be this close to winning the league, I would have taken your right hand off you.
You would have.
It's a phase that we're going through, because these guys, bear in mind, these guys have never got into this stage together as a team now under this new management this far. This is all a first experience for them. Now, I take the point that was made earlier in terms of, okay, they could have drawn from the experience of certain players. But then again, when you speak to people who have been to war, who are you going to pick? The captains? Or the reservists, right? I'm not exactly trying to downplay the experience that all of these guys bring to the team, but they weren't exactly the dominant factors in the teams that they came from, were they? So I say all this to say that everybody collectively in this particular endeavor hasn't experienced this before at this kind of level. So you could draw on Zinchenko and say, right, okay, so how did things pan out there? You could draw on what's the other fellow's name?
Jesus.
A Jorginho. But then again, you then have to look at the practicality of how their dynamics are within that dressing room and how they then translate this experience. They might not be able to do it. They might not be the greatest communicators. I won't say that for the general. But I don't know about the rest of them. And then there's the manager himself, who has never had to go back to his office and work out how to respond to this type of adversity. You've been winning games on the bounce. You had a great January, you had a great February, you had an okay-ish March, then you get to this level and then you get this kind of disappointment. How are you going to pick them up? He's never done this before. So my sense of optimism comes from the fact that, okay, now they've experienced it as a team. Then we're going to summer, and I think all that's missing from this group is a midfielder who goes off script when the game is tight. Because they figured us out. If you give us a low block, you go back to that old traditional two banks of four, wait us to pass, we get exhausted, we run out of options, right? So we need a lock picker beyond Odegaard. Odegaard is great, fantastic. I love the talent that will be found. I can't believe that Madrid let him go. However, we need an Odegaard with legs. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, I understand.
So a more athletic Odegaard, so that when you face a Bayern Munich that sits behind like that, or you go into these tougher games where they just say, okay, you know, hold the ball and you do your worst. Then somebody has to take the game by the scruff of the neck, or what's that expression? And then we need a striker. We need a striker. I love Gabriel Jesus, but I'd rather have a striker that strikes.
I had to. Your mate seemed. Everybody seems resigned to saying that he go better next season or stuff like that. This is not, this season is not proven to be, if it pans out the same what we're thinking and City or God forbid Liverpool win the title, it becomes like
God forbid
it becomes like well, this is not too different from last season. So if the players and especially the management team did not learn any lessons from last season, how does one excuse that? Because the collapse from last season, one would have thought, okay, the way Arsenal went to the Etihad and decided that a draw would do. That supposedly everybody said, yes, it shows that they've learned lessons from last season. So if they do collapse again and don't end up winning this title, what kind of excuse will be tenable from Mikel Arteta? Or do you think they will collapse at all, or you still think you win the title?
Okay. I think Arteta's employers, they have shown that they are ready to swim or sink with him. So I believe, irrespective of what happens,
is he doing
at the end of the season, he'll be there next season to pursue the players that he feel will elevate the team to the next level. But we run the risk of getting overwhelmed by the negative psychological condiment needed in this kind of situation, this kind at this level. If we fall short again this season, I'm not so confident that next season would have made that jump over this psychological barrier that we have faced.
Do you think you will fall short?
Okay, like the other speaker said the last time, I think I would do an appraisal on Wednesday as well, after the Chelsea game.
Okay.
If Arsenal win tonight and then win on Tuesday, it could spark something, and then, you know, bring us back on track. Yes, that's a possibility.
Yes.
But if we're unable to win both of these coming games, then I think I don't see us getting over the finish line. I don't see us getting over the finish line. So we need, if we win these two games, it puts the pressure back on
City.
Our competitors. It puts the pressure back on them. And then when we sit back and watch them trying to now catch up, not trying to now level up with us, it's also another kind of psychological whatever that we can walk and then see that and see and, you know, fashion out how we apply ourselves when next we go onto the pitch again. So I think that might work in our favor if we are able to get two wins from the next two games. So but anything short of two wins, I think that would be the season done. I think that would be the season done.
Mark.
That would be the season done.
Mark, there's a gentleman who I was hoping would be on the pod, but he hasn't come in. Before the Villa game, we were in the same WhatsApp group, and he was saying that he has this feeling that the meltdown, he's an Arsenal fan, he's been an Arsenal fan for decades, that he has this feeling that the music is going to start playing again. That he said it, he wrote it down, that Arsenal will lose to Villa, lose to Munich, and then on Saturday, Wolves will deliver what he described as a coup de grace, and that will be the end. What do you think?
Yeah, sorry, I was just right. Yeah, you know what? I think the Villa one, most Arsenal fans have been supporting Arsenal for a long time. Mm. It was the type of game where you look, and I don't know about anyone else, but I have this thing with Arsenal that when we get to 0-0 half-time, I'm never confident at Emirates. I don't know what it is about playing games at Emirates and we're 0-0 half-time. I always think, and I remember saying to someone, let me know when Watkins gets his goal. I just know this club too well, Calvin. But you know what? That game, yeah, I could see that happening. Do you know what's restraining for me now when I hear you guys talk? I forgot we played two before City play one.
Mm.
And that really annoys me. That really annoys me. Because I think to myself, you could have beaten Villa, been a point clear, win two, seven clear. Oh my gosh. Because yeah, suddenly, no matter who you are,
that's true.
You know what I mean? No matter who you are, the pressure's on. Yes. It doesn't matter. The pressure is on. Mm. You slip up once, that's it. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, and but yeah, I look at Arsenal's fixture and I've said it, I feel like people are still underestimating. We still have to go to Tottenham, which is going to be tricky. Yeah, but good. You know the fixture that bugs me? Manchester United at Old Trafford. Everyone thinks that Arsenal can go there, steamroller them. Listen, that stadium does things to us. So it's still a tough one, but I feel like, who knows? It might be a case of we may go and, you know, win the remaining games and City may slip up. Like, I'm not giving up fully yet, and I agree again with the guys that these next two games are pivotal. Absolutely pivotal. You drop any points in this thing, it's done. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, title race is done. But again, I'm, you know, like Ekpeng, I'm not saying it will be a bad season. I still think it'll be a good season. Mm. Not as much progress as I wanted. Let me make that clear, because I wanted more. I always said quarterfinals, minimum Champions League. We achieved that. Where we were in the league and where we had a chance to go on, I'm disappointed we didn't go on and do that. But, as I said, he gets next season. But yeah, like you're a friend saying Villa, he knew it and we'll lose to Wolves. Listen, I saw the Wolves review with, what's his name, Gary O'Neill, and he said one of his players had to come out of science class to join the squad. Now, if we lose to a team like that tonight, it's done. Like, if that happens today, we can't lose to Wolves away. I don't care if you want to win a title. Mm. I don't care what form you're in. You find a way of winning against the Wolves away. London Derby, anything can happen, but you don't lose to Wolves away. I expect us to beat Wolves. I expect it to be convincing. And then, you know, with Chelsea, they're playing when? Is it today, tomorrow?
They're playing tonight. They're playing tonight in the FA Cup.
Tonight? Again. Yeah. And then 2 days, so then we play them again. Mm. We win the next two. We have to. So, like, there's no ifs or buts. We have to. But as I said, it's very frustrating that had we beaten Villa, because, you know, when Liverpool lost, I'm sure all us Arsenal fans here, yeah, we sat here going, I was like, wait, is that game away? Because Liverpool would never lose at Anfield. I was like, oh my God, oh my goodness, let's do this. And then the 2-0 just, it crushes you. Because it's like, oh my God, there was a chance to literally open up like that. And that would have sent Liverpool at the title race straight away.
Yes.
That would have been it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now, annoyingly, and Calvin, I know you don't even mention them by name, they're still in it. So let's see what happens.
You know, it was early in the season when you lost to, when you lost at Villa Park to Aston Villa.
Mm.
And Arsenal, when Arsenal were chasing the equaliser, and Arsenal brought on Eddie Nketiah, I remember where I sat and I saw the substitution and I thought, seriously, you're looking for an equaliser in a to keep you going, and you bring Eddie Nketiah. nothing against a kid, but I am thinking your Diego Carlos, your Matt Cash, Ezri Konsa, and you're there and you're seeing Nketiah warming up to come on for, it was Gabi Jesus they took out that night, and you're seeing Nketiah warming up to come on, and you're like, is this all you got? That's what I'm thinking. That's what all the players would think, the Villa defenders would think. Is this what you got? And in midweek, same way, you were chasing an equalizer, and it was this kid you brought on. But this is where I'm actually heading is this. I do not think that this manager has managed his resources properly. I don't think he's he's played too many players for too long, and then he's also underutilized the squad players, that they don't have enough minutes in the tank, that when you need them to come on, they don't come in with that confidence. I whenever I watch the Class of 92 documentary, but you know them, those players, when they talked about some of the stuff that Sir Alex used to do to them to make sure that coming into March, April, May, that all the players would have had nearly 20 league games each. When I heard them mention that, I was like, wow. That you would have made sure that these guys have had those many games under their belt. So when injury, because Arsenal have been extremely fortunate with injuries. Extremely fortunate with injuries this season. Nobody in the Arsenal spine has gone out for any long period in this season. So he's had enough room to start players so that when you need them, they'll be ready to come on. Rather than what I don't know if it was you or was Ekman that mentioned that Saka looks knackered. A lot of players look knackered now and their heads are falling. So again, it comes to if fall short, would anybody else apart from the manager take the heat for this?
I just quickly, I want to say, I feel like Arteta deserves to take heat for that, because we Arsenal fans have said it for a long time. There's been many an Arsenal game, and these guys may know better than me, but there was a game where there was one in the Champions League where I think we were 3-4 up, and I thought, take Saka off now, and he leaves the guy on, and I'm like, I don't care if the kid wants to stay on. You know, if you look, there's been moments where Foden wants to stay on, or KDB, you take him off. I'm the boss here. I don't care if you want to stay on. I'm taking you off. You're going to rest, and come the end of the season, you're going to thank me for it. That's just how it works. So I feel like he's not, I don't know, Calvin, I feel like I'm a bit concerned, because you know sometimes, well, you need them type of players that can give a bit of, like, what do you call them? You know that people don't like Ibrahimovic and them type of players. There's a name for them. I can't, trying to think, like the Obbers and Aubameyang and them type, but we don't have them type of players.
Yes,
and I feel like I don't feel like he can handle, I think he's worried that he can't handle them type of players. But in a squad, sometimes you need them. You know what I mean? They've been there, they've done it, they've really been through it. So there's little things with him that really, really worry me. And I don't want him to be the Neely man. I don't want him to be this Brendan Rodgers that they're calling him. You know what I mean? The Arsenal Brendan Rodgers. But when you're messing up on decisions like this, it's like, you know, we're talking about we want wingers now. And now I'm like, okay, cool. You've messed up this year, but next year, please, get us another winger that way you can rest Saka. Go and get a striker, because we need one now. And I think one of you guys as well was talking about a midfielder, Odegaard with legs. Yes, the biggest thing for us right now, we don't have an X-factor player. Look at Man City. 1-0 down to Crystal Palace. Bang, De Bruyne scores. Goal, game changes. Arsenal, the problem is, sometimes we go a goal behind and we're dependent on Saka to do his little, he's lost the dribbling ability now, but it's the little cut-in finish. Maybe like, I don't know, Havertz last-minute goal or Rice when scoring last-minute goals. We don't have that X-factor player anymore. And that's the worry. You look at Real Madrid, Vinicius can be on that wing, bang, the speed is gone. Rodrigo making a difference in them big games. We don't have that. Which is why I've said,
please, you know, which is like, Great, great point. That's a good point you've made there. Do you think that the reason why Arsenal don't have an X factor player, as you guys are saying, is probably more to do with a coach who wants to micromanage everything that is done on the pitch?
I think it's more more mechanical. Yeah. Right. So I think that mechanical problem, and I'll try and explain, is all down to the experience. Everyone seems to be learning, right? When I say everyone, Arteta, he's learning on the job, right? So with squad rotation, for instance, I think he's discovered that he's got a quality problem. So, in my assessment, he probably wants to play the likes of Nketiah and give them more minutes. But I think deep down somewhere he recognizes that they're just not good enough for the level he's after. So he's got to work with, and he's been lucky, he's been blessed to have had fitness across his core of players. So that's one thing, and that's one thing in the mechanics. And then he's been trying to chop and change. I remember the squad that he got when he inherited when he started versus the squad that he's got now. And he's made a lot of changes. He made a lot of changes to... Sorry, one second. There's someone at... Thank you so much. Thank you. Hi, sorry. Not every time during a live recording. You get someone comes in the door. What was I saying? Yeah. Oh yeah, so the mechanics of it, right? So he's realized in his chopping and changing that there are some players that would work and there are some players that won't work. My assessment of Arteta is he's been a very ruthless manager, you know. So on the one hand, we need the likes of an Aubameyang, those kind of X-factor players, those ones that a friend of mine refers to them as moment players. Mm. So you need a big moment and you need something to happen, and it's these guys that make the difference. On the other hand, those guys turn out to be divas sometimes.
Yes, and that's what makes them special, in truth.
That's what makes them special. And it can work, and sometimes it can't work. It can upset the balance. So Aubameyang is a good case in point. I didn't like that Arteta got rid of him, but I respected that Arteta got rid of him. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm.
So the guy was able to show that, look, it's my team. You're going to play by my rules or you're going to leave. Now, I don't agree with it, but I respect it. It's your team. Carry on. Why do I say that? I say that because I think that when we get to the summer, he's going to go again and take a very cold look at his squad. And I think he's going to shed players. I would not be surprised to see Jesus go. You heard it here first.
Look, hold on slightly for me. I find it really hard or difficult sometimes to blame players first in across football clubs. The reason being that, you see, the times when Edin Nketiah had a run, you would see a proper number nine in the boy. You can see a boy but he would make the runs that you want in the number nine. He would score. I believe that if Nketiah had a good run to play, you would know this boy would score goals. Let me remind Arsenal fans, you see this boy up at Newcastle now, that was at Arsenal. Injury has blighted his season. Willock.
Yeah.
Every time I see Willock play football, I'm like, this is a footballer. There's an athleticism. Yeah. There's a drive. You see that Oxlade-Chamberlain person you talked about? That's Willock. That's that kind of a player there. But you see, this is the kind of players that if you don't let them flourish, if you don't let them play, you will not find the thing that they want. So when you talk about the mechanics and the mechanical aspect of what Arteta is doing. I have to look at the engineer who is employing or who is drafting the mechanics and deploying the mechanics to this work. So when a manager decides that I would rather play with a false nine in Kai or play with quote unquote a defensive nine in Gabriel Jesus rather than a proper nine like Nketiah, so my point is, if you decide to do all of this, you must win something big to justify this your action.
I think it's a fair argument. But then again, going back to my point on mechanics, I disagree with the approach of using the false nine. I would rather have a striker. I'm old school that way. Give me somebody who bangs goals, whose name on the CV says my job is a striker, and then my job spec is to score goals. Yeah. That's my thing. End of story. Yeah. But then Arteta goes and goes, what, 5-6 games and gives us 31 goals. It becomes difficult to argue against that.
Yes.
That's the challenge. So with a guy like Nketiah, I really wish he could get more games. But I don't think the season lended itself for him to have those games the way we were structured. And again, maybe it's in phases. We've gotten our defensive side of the house right. I think we've gotten our defensive midfield side of the house right. The creative spark maybe needs a fine tuning, and then the forward end. So he seems to be doing it gradually in phases, and I think we're on our way. I do think we're on our way, but I also think that there's a quality gap. The substitutes aren't quite there.
That's what's led to this level, this discussion we're doing now. But the reason, you see, this is why I always say to this, I say this all the time, and people wonder why I come from that standpoint. I say, for a professional footballer to get to the level where a football club like Arsenal, like Manchester United, like Liverpool, like Man City, would sign you and register you amongst the 25 for the Premier League squad, it means that you are very good. You are a very good footballer.
I see your point. So that hangs on the manager.
Yes.
So that hangs on the coach.
It means you're a very good footballer. Now, for you not to get the number of games to put you up to speed to when the club needs you, like for when injury calls or for when it is towards the end of the season and everybody is knackered, it now becomes you weren't used. It's like you park your car in the garage and after a long time you might try, the battery might have gone flat.
But it could also be something you saw in training sessions that they just didn't show to you in the course of the season.
You see, fortunately for me, I can say that I've been able to watch a lot of training sessions and I've spoken to coaches, and we all forget these coaches are human beings. When they are creating training sessions, right? You can create training sessions specifically with some players in mind for the games that you have in mind. So whatever people the others are doing really will not count. And it brings me to what Finidi George once said to me about when I asked him who was his the best coach he's played under, and he said Louis Aragonés. And I remember narrowing my eyes. I said, Aragonés, why? So he explained that in every club that Aragonés coaches, that he spends more time with the squad players than he spends with the first team players. That he is always speaking to the squad players and doing a lot of one-on-ones with them. And he said the reason was that Rahone says, you need these people for towards the end of the season. That you need all of them keyed in into the work that they need to feel among going into the business end of the season. And Sir Bobby Robson, God bless his soul, also said that going to a tournament, that he used to spend a lot of time with the players that he knew would not start matches. Because he said, it's a tournament. Somebody can just get injury, the kind of injury that will put them out of the tournament. So I need to have all of these other players ready. So you see, all of these things I'm saying is why I find it really, really hard sometimes to excuse managers for results and for
managers, everything.
Yes, because they have a lot of things under their control. That's
the only response I've got to that. The only response I've got to that is the man is still learning. He's still learning. This is his first gig. Yes. I didn't want him to get the job in the first place, but he's here now and he's done well. That's the only explanation, I guess. He's not done this before.
Hayatu, while in Lagos, I would want to please unmute your mic and then come in. What would you describe? Just let us know how you feel come Tuesday night, and Arsenal have 6 points, and they are now 4 points ahead of 4 points ahead of City.
If we beat Chelsea, if we win tonight, and then we beat Chelsea on Tuesday, it gives us an extra incentive. It gives me, as a fan, an extra incentive to continue to forge on with the team till the end of the season. It's still no guarantee that we'll win the league, but at least it keeps me on my seat. You know, watching them till the end of the season. I think that is what it does for me, basically. Because if to have any chance of winning the league, no matter how little, 6 points from the next two games are non-negotiable. Arsenal have to get those 6 points. So anything short of those 6 points, the season is done. I'm sure everybody knows that. I'm sure the team, the players know that. The manager knows that. But if they're able to get 6 points from the next two games, it gives them extra impetus to say, okay, we can look at the finish line ahead in front of us. Let's give it one more push. And then you never know. The ball might just fall on your lap. So that's how important it is for us to get those 6 points. On the part of the players, that is what it gives them. As fans too, it keeps us, you know, firmly focused on the rest of the season. But if we don't get 6 points from these two games, most fans will tune out. They will tune out. That's a given. Right. I will tune out. I will watch the rest of the games. I'll support the team, but I know that we are not winning the league again this season. So that's what we do.
Right. As we round up, I'm going to say this finally. When I think it was the season Spurs, I think it was Antonio Conte's season when Chelsea last won the title, and Spurs had 86 points. Then the next season, Pochettino treated the cup competitions. He treated the League Cup, the Europa League that they were in, treated them with disdain. I wrote a column at the time that Pochettino was running the risk of going the David O'Leary way. And the David O'Leary way was where everybody thinks that you're going to be a great manager, and in the end, you don't win anything, and you get sacked from that job, and you just go down the pan. That a manager needs, when he's on top of whichever football club he's at, he has to win one trophy. There's always a window to win the league for people who are not, when you're not Man City with state-backed finances. There's always a window to win the title. Arsenal, I think, had a window last season. They now have a window this season. I'm going to close. We're going to close here with the three of you. I start with the following very quickly. Should it happen that Arsenal don't win the league this season, please, very quickly, what would you project would happen next season?
Next season, a lot will depend on many external factors, chief among which is Klopp leaving. With Klopp leaving, I think that leaves Arsenal competing against City again. The second most important factor will be our summer recruitment. Even as fans, we can tell what the team lacks. It's obvious. It's very clear. If the club gets its transfer business right and strengthens the team significantly, I think we'll compete again next season. But the biggest barrier we are up against is still the psychological side of navigating the business end of every football season. So the top of the shelf talent can get us across. I want to believe at this point now that is the only option we have left. Talent that we currently don't have, if we're able to bring them in, then we just get over that psychological barrier that has held us back in the last few years. So that's my projection for season.
Matt, so if you don't, just very quickly, I'm planning to take more time. If you don't win the title this season, what would you want done next season?
I want to see progression and a trophy. So that can be, I know people are going to think I'm mad, but it could be semi-finals, Champions League. I want to see a longer run in the FA Cup because I've grown up on that, and that's something I still want to see. And win the Premier League. I feel like, you know, next season is a great opportunity. I know we're against a crazy team in Manchester City, but we can do it. Like Klopp going, they've got a restart. Tottenham don't win trophies. They're Spursy. Man United. I don't think we'll be near there. So we'll be us and City up there again. And I feel like next season, if we get the striker and the midfielder we need, we win it.
Matt, what are you doing? Why am I getting feedback from you? Who's playing your voice back there?
That's what I was thinking. I could hear. Why am I hearing myself?
Anyway, can you
guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. But anyway, yes, yeah. I'm taking your point. Ekwen, final take from you.
So if we don't win this season, then the space for excuses is limited. Next season will be what now? Season 5 for Arteta.
It will be full season.
Yeah. So at this post Ferguson, post Wenger era of football, we're not going to be getting 10-year managers anymore. I don't think. He's tasted the top of it now. He's proven that he can actually compete at this level, right? Go win more stuff, or start looking at your future. That's the way I would see it.
Right. Listen, gentlemen.
If really want to compete.
Thank you so much for your time this so early in the morning. Thank you, and may what you wish come through for you. Thank you for being on your Sports Memo.
You couldn't bring yourself to wishing us good luck.
It's hard, frankly, but what can I say? We are not in the running, so really. But there you have it. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being a part of your Sports Memo podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Maybe see you.
Yes, and my listeners, I thank you all so very much for listening to this Arsenal-themed episode of the podcast. Until I come your way with another episode, this is Calvin Emeka Onwuka signing out.